You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Jose Altidore, he scores. It's 2-1.
And here Sebastian Domingo gets the ball, driving every defense. The last thing you want.
Wednesday, August 24th, it's Prospect 11's Aaron Nielsen, Andre Zadorozny, I'm Ian Clark, and we're live and direct from the Football Factory, reveling in a redeeming 2-1 win over Orlando City to propel the Reds top of the table in the Eastern Conference. The sample size is growing, and we're starting to believe, specifically in team depth of players such as Alex Bono, Drew Moore, Michael Bradley, and especially of late, Jose Altidore, all being as essential as Jovinko over the last month. It's more positivity ahead of the 4-1 Derby, and a raised glass to an outstanding Vic Router performance. All that and more on the next 45 minutes on Eastside Stand Up.
Are we on?
It's midweek podcast. Right. We're gonna whip through this because I'm not gonna edit it. I'm just gonna throw this straight on, guys.
Anything goes?
Yeah, so no. What was I gonna say? No long ums. Okay. Gotta watch the likes.
Okay.
But swear a lot still.
Brevity.
Yeah.
Should I start going into details with my family owned land in the south of the United States?
No. No, don't do that. So let's go. No segue.
Starting on the right foot.
Holy shit. All right. Obviously.
We're winners.
Obviously.
Gagnon.
Top of the table. Top of the table. Top of the conference. Top of the division.
What's the chant in England? They're in first place. I thought there's a common chant that's
we're in first.
We're in first.
We're gonna win the league. I think it's
we're gonna win the league. That's all right.
Yeah,
that applies.
Does it apply for MLS?
There's a lot.
We're gonna win the Community Shield.
Look. This is
Rebel, man.
Guys, this is
we're for tipple.
We're talking about
quadruple.
We're on course for the quadruple.
We're witnessing our own Galacticos.
We got the Voyager's Cup. We got the Trillium Cup. Two trophies that are barely taped together.
I remember that Trillium Cup parade. We just walked down the street. It was perfect. The Trillium Cup parade.
Giovinco and a little tricycle.
Yeah, we're working on the supporter shield, and then we're gonna try to get ourselves.
I said Community Shield. Sorry.
You meant the supporter.
I meant supporter shield. I got England on the brain.
Yeah, clearly. I recognize that. I thought it was just some joke you're making.
Well, I've broken the fourth wall.
Yeah. So there is. We're in uncharted territory, guys. That's
since 2009.
A lot of things that we're looking at here. That's just like the streak that the team is on, the position we're in the table, the kind of results that we're seeing. It's been a long time, if ever, since we've seen these kind of performances, these kinds of results. Look at this, we're seeing the highlights now, it's beautiful.
What are we attributing all this to?
Jovinko, obviously.
Obviously, but Jovinko has been playing pretty well all season.
Well, you know, you gotta say, Jovinko's a linchpin, but there's
Tosain Ricketts.
Well, we're saying that, Tosain scored a goal, Altidore scored a goal. The supporting cast has definitely lived up to pulling their weight. I think that's got to be part of it. And the defense has been better. The other stat we have to throw out there, Toronto FC, when they score first,
yeah,
what was it? Now it's 12-0-1?
12-0-1, yeah.
Is that
12-0-1.
Whatever.
One draw.
Yeah.
Undefeated.
There you go.
Yeah. No.
That's an amazing stat. I never think I'd ever see a stat like that for TFC.
And credit to them, because that's sort of what they tried to establish for themselves at the beginning of the season, right? Like how the whole opponents and how to control leads and all that kind of stuff. And I thought tonight, just for game sense, it cost them a bit in the second half, because I think they were, they made the substitution to put Zavaleta in for Chapman, were trying to hold on to the game, and that kind of cost them. And it wasn't until You know, Giovinco-Eltidore combo at the end of the game, kind of. Although, to be fair to Vandy, he did put Eltidore into the game to give us that options and stuff like that.
Well, it's good that we have things off the, like players off the bench that can make changes, because it always seemed that we didn't have anyone that can really change the game.
Yeah, or switch it around, being that you can rest those guys, rest those key starters, and have a guy like Rick could start the game and contribute.
Well, who was it? Who's the announcer for TSN?
Today it was Vic Router.
He was saying that
our coach's name is Dick Vanny.
It's Nick Rick Vanny.
Rick Vanny.
And he was saying that that Mr. Vanny wasn't wanting to play certain players because he wanted to rest them for the Montreal game. But
the gold derby.
Yeah, I mean, clearly he wanted the win, so he put them on. I mean, I think Montreal is struggling, so that's a game that Toronto can still play.
Well, do you want to do this? Do you want to do some traditional game analysis? I think you've stepped away that in the last few podcasts. You know,
trying to mix it up.
Okay.
Keep the listeners guessing.
Because I thought it was interesting to set them at the beginning of the game.
Oh, like, yeah,
they played
yeah.
almost an Italian 3-5-2, and you know, like I, you know, maybe just giving Toronto FC a bit too much credit, but they're in first place, so I think they, you know, should get as much credit as they deserve. But the one thing that Orlando historically has been good at is the wide wingers and the pressure that they put onto a game. And it almost felt like they put the sort of midfield five to grab the attention of the Orlando team and put them on their heels. And the reality was is, you know, it took two plays to give Toronto the lead, but it didn't really look like Orlando knew what they were, you know, like they weren't. It wasn't a game where Toronto fluked a win or anything like that. They held Orlando in check most of the game.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because if you look at what was the starting, we had obviously Bono starting again in goal as Irwin's getting his fitness back, and then we had Moore,
Williams,
and Haglund. Interesting that Zavalata didn't get the start. And then the midfield, the two wide players were Lovitz and Delgado, with Bradley, Osorio, who am I missing in the midfield?
Chapman.
And Chapman.
Yeah.
And then Ricketts and Giovinco up top.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first glance, I think for a midweek game, like when you have three games in a week,
yeah.
I think at this stage, and that's a good thing to say when you say you have like a Chapman, Delgado, Osorio, Williams, and Haglund in there, you're like still feeling okay about your chances.
Yeah.
Against one of the teams that aren't really in the playoff picture. So that was a good start to the game, and I think off the top, we saw the things that we would have expected from Toronto is that Giovinco's obviously the two. I think that maybe the way that you could look at this matchup is that you would know that the key player for Orlando is Kyle Lahren.
Yeah.
As much as Kaká's the DP, the guy who's scoring all the goals for them is Kyle or Lahren. And then for Toronto, it's at the other end, it's Giovinco pulling all the strings. And early on, that's what we saw. Those are the two players.
Kaká, well, even in the box score, that's what we saw, right? Because Giovinco assisted on both Toronto's goals, and Lahren scored his goal. And arguably, I don't think many MLS players could have scored the goal that Lahren got. So, yeah, it just shows. Well, again, it shows you in this league that the top talent sort of shows up and is rewarded for being the top talent and stuff like that.
Yeah, and if we look at how this game opened up, it's a player that we've been. Well, I guess technically, Aaron, we talked about him back in. Did we mention him back in May? Or was that off the record?
Oh, yeah.
We would have been talking
about it. You wouldn't allow me. It was a podcast special.
Yeah, we were trying to keep it on the DL because we were under... We gave a promise to... We gave a promise to John Eden. We wouldn't spill the beans. But that was the opening goal, was that a really slick play from Giovinco on a throw-in. Catches Ricketts behind that last defender, sets him free, and it was the former track and field athlete from Alberta. Got behind that last defender, lets him trip and fall over himself, and then he slots it past Bendik. And I was gotta say, I'm always happy. Well, it's only been two goals, but Ricketts had lots of chances, and when he scores, I feel that's a good thing, because I think that's there was mixed reception on his signing, and I think people who'd followed him closely, whether for Canada or across, knows that, yeah, he can be a contributor on this team. So
he's an added threat, and that's definitely someone to go to when you need them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's proven that. And the last two goals, the two goals he's had were very similar in that he kind of gets breaks free, nice little pass, and he's out off to the races, and he's fast, and he can pick a spot. So what more can you ask for?
Yeah, no complaints there. But as is the... Well, I mean, we got through the first half 1-0.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of a game where it looked like Toronto gets that 1-0 lead and they're kind of holding on to it, right? Like, they're...
Yeah.
The two things I would say that was, like, A, the pitch was pretty rough.
Awful looking.
Right? Like, it was... It wasn't a surface that was...
it's artificial turf, no?
Yeah, becoming to a beautiful game of football. That was the first thing I was saying. Yeah?
Yeah, like very nice.
Do you like that?
Yes.
I don't know.
The beautiful game was tarnished...
By the shitty pitch.
By a camping ground field.
It was awful. It was like playing on a lamp board, it looked like. And then the one observation is, because you look at the halftime substitution, was that, obviously I'm always pulling for Canadian guys, but I thought Jay Chapman didn't have a great first half.
Yeah.
And we saw him come off. And we saw that, and I think that was the case actually through a bit of the game, which is, I guess, is a recurring pattern with Toronto FC, is that a lot of the young guys seem to be looking for the same players. And it was obvious when we're moving forward, there's a guy, we're looking for Jovinko. And Chapman looked a little bit slow on the trigger with his passes. Things were a little bit telegraphed. We saw that a bit with Delgado. We even saw that with Osorio at times. Although it looked like Osorio was a little more willing to run with the ball. So the halftime, Chapman comes out, Zavaleta comes in. Change things up, get a little crazy. But the second half, though, Toronto looked just like they were...
coasting?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, things changed, you know what I mean? Like, it was... The first half was a little bit like, there was... I don't know if I'd call it even possession, but it looked like they were at least in control
fairly
of what
close.
Was happening. Now, the back lines at times looked a little bit shaky, but... The second half comes around, and then it wasn't that long into that we saw the goal from Laren.
Yeah.
And, you talked about it for a second there, and I would just add to that that was just, I would call that goal athletic dominance.
Yeah.
That he displayed. And, he gets some criticism, I think, from the Orlando supporters, sometimes in the way that he carries himself on the pitch.
Okay,
they say he doesn't play with enough passion.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
a little more passion.
What is he... How do you play with more passion other than score goals?
I know. Score 17 goals in your rookie year, and I think he's on 13
need?
Or 14 this year now at this point. I don't
he's
know.
Canadian. He's quiet. He uses his intervals.
Anyways, I think it's a bit of a... I think it's a naive comment to make. You know what I mean? Like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, if you don't see a guy running like he's like a maniac for 90 minutes, you think he's not trying? No, that's not the case. Anyways.
That goal has a mix of poor defending, too. I mean, you shouldn't be letting someone like him... I mean, he was very strong on the ball, but come on.
I think you got to give, like, almost all the credit to Laren on that, though, right? Like, ball went up and
make it a little harder for him. Let's just say that. Well, it's a free header in the box. He's tall. Do you think
it wasn't a free header, though. He climbed over the back.
Climbed? All right. Well, anyways. It looked like a free header. No, there was no challenge.
Sure. I just think in terms of the skill set that involves, like, that could have been a goal in Europe. Right? Like, arguably, as a defender, you're supposed to hold the guy 1-on-1. And what you see in a lot of MLS plays, you get a lot of ping-pong positioning in that, where the guy can't athletically dominate that position, so the ball just comes to the center, and hopefully some guy gets to shoot a loose ball. Where Laren basically said, this is my ball, I'm going to put it in, it almost didn't go in, right? Like, it was a bit off, but the fact that he was able to make contact in that place, I don't think there's hardly any MLS players who can be capable of doing that, right?
Yeah. So there we are sitting at 1-1, and it looks like, but the thing is that, as a Toronto FC supporter, 1-1 draws okay with us. That gets us still in first place. That keeps the streak alive. That allows CFC marketing to still claim we're on an undefeated run. Right? We still have the undefeated run going.
Sure.
But Toronto definitely still had their chances. They had lots of chances. Chavinko had several free kicks that he tested Bendik. Probably the biggest save of the half was the
cross wide to Haglin, who one timed it back into the box right onto Altidore's header, and Bendik made a huge save. I'll give him 1 second of credit.
Throw him a bone.
But you know, the one thing I will say about Joe Bendik is he's amongst the leaders in goals allowed of the season, and he's not very good on 1v1s, so he's not a complete keeper from in my perspective. And that's why he's not on the first place team in the league. He's on one of the worst teams in the league.
Well, arguably, you know, our criticism of Bendik when he was with TFC was we didn't remember games where he won games for Toronto, right? And although he made that save, he allowed the goal to Altidore, so in Orlando's world, he didn't save this game for them either, right? It's just another game, right? So maybe if it ended 1-1, you could give him some credit there, but at the end of the day, you know, it's another loss for him and another 2 goals allowed.
Yeah, so. I probably still wouldn't have, though. But that, and just to finish off, like, the, you know, Altidore versus Bono was that, you know, that's how this game sort of gets wrapped up, is that, you know, Altidore gets sprung 1v1, and, you know, in this league, you don't always see that nice sort of one touch round the keeper and slot it in. The opportunities are there, it doesn't always happen, and hats off to Altidore, he pulls that off.
Yeah.
And scores the game-winning goal. And Altidore is, what can you say? He's on fucking fire right now, man. He is a
perfect timing. Couldn't ask for.
Hey, we've said this since, for many years now. That this whole, you know, MLS success a lot of times is based on timing.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it's team or players or whatever, and this team's at a point where it's like, you know, the substitutions that we made in this game were Zavaleta, who's technically our starting center back, came in the second half. Altidore came in the 57th or 58th minute. And then Will Johnson subs in later on. I mean, what a great position to be in, right? That those are the guys that you can do in and give them some time and get them ready for the 4-1 Derby.
That's right.
On D-A-R-B-Y. Derby on Saturday.
Little Derby.
Courtesy of Vic. Old Vic Router.
It's going to be good.
So, I don't know if there's anything really to comment after. No, they really turned the music down.
They did, didn't they?
I feel like, I got to be honest, I was losing my train of thought.
I saw that. Many points, the yelling.
Many points during this podcast, I've lost my train of thought because either the TSN has been so loud or the music was so loud and they finally turned it down. So now I'm like,
wow. Collect yourself.
Yeah, now I have to recollect myself and be like, okay, I can think normally again.
Well, the team's been playing pretty steadily well, so I mean usually
talk about this current run of form maybe, and now we're in first place. Dare to dream play like we
dare
dream
to do.
Is this team playing like we dream?
this is a shock to the old banner that was
Aaron's thinking about it. He's reluctant.
No, I'm not necessarily reluctant, you know, again, I thought
hesitant
maybe. No, I thought this was the potential team. Again, I'm looking at this game and I'm saying to myself, this was not, maybe next week. You put this out beforehand. You said that these three games defines this. And arguably, I think the Montreal game is the game that supposedly matters the most to everybody, right? So arguably, the starting 11 for that game will be the A starting 11, right? And to me, it's a transition of what the team is now and what the team is going to be in October or whatever when we're in the playoffs. Because this league doesn't, you know, support Shield's interesting. And, you know, it's, I guess there's some credit to that. But support Shield means nothing, right? Like, it doesn't really give us any, I don't know, do we get anything for it? Like, you know, like if we're American, we get a trip to CONCACAF, but we're already at CONCACAF, right?
Yeah.
So there's no added advantage, you know, other than I guess the home playoff.
Well, yeah, you get the MLS Cup.
Yeah, if you're making.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess there's some value to that. Yeah. But,
well, we're going for the, what do we call it? The
4-1 Derby?
No. What is it called? We're getting all four trophies.
The quadruple.
We're for the quadruple.
The annals of Toronto FC history.
How bad is my command of the English language? What is a four? What is it when you get
good?
When you do better than those? What is it called? Me four things. An octo win.
No, like again, I think that you know, if we're playing New York City FC in the playoffs, I'm confident. If we're playing, you know, arguably Montreal is on a slide, and this week coming up we'll show that game against Montreal.
Red Bulls.
And Red Bulls still scare me, right? Because because I don't think cohesive, right? Toronto hasn't played cohesive teams, right? Like, this is what happens at this time of the MLS season, is that teams are kind of all over the place. Yeah. Orlando is a team that fired their coach, that, you know, has certain key players, but outside of that, they're not a sort of cohesive unit. So, you know, again, you know, I asked you this last time, but did you write a preview for this game? Did you expect, did you expect, like, what did you go into expecting this game? I guess you're happy with a draw and happy with a win.
Yeah,
right?
You know what? I probably would have predicted a win for this game, to be honest with you. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you guys were talking about a game that was a statement of intent, right? Remember?
You know, let me just say this, though, before we hop onto that, because, you know, you made the point about the Montreal game. This is what I want to say about that, is that, you know, like, I'm, you know, compared to previous seasons and I compared to last year, and why the Montreal game. And these three games, I think you have to look at them as a whole and evaluate them as a whole, including the Montreal game, almost at this point, especially the Montreal game, because now we're in a position, you know, we're in first place. It's like, now we can really, are we going to play like a first place team?
Yeah.
And last year, you know, we were at a point where, you know, we were going those last two games of the season, and those last two games could have put us into second place.
Yeah.
And what happened was we played Columbus at home. Not only did we lose, we got shut out, right? And that spoke volumes for that team, was that, you know, in a critical game that could have determined where you're going to be, you showed up in a home game
and you didn't perform
and got tooled. And then the next game that you really could have made a statement was away in Montreal that determined where you're going to play in the playoffs, and you got tooled. So this is a position.
Well, in the other context for me, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, and I don't know if we're doing a Blue Jay podcast or a Raptors podcast, but the Toronto's 12-7-7, right? And in a typical European league, if you're 12-7-7, you know, you're fighting for a European spot, right? That doesn't seem champion, right? Like in Premier League or Serie A, you have to lose two or three games a year just to have a shot at winning the championship. So to me, you know, it's a great story, and I'm happy that they're doing well. But I don't think it sort of writes anything in the, you know, the books. Like, I don't think we're going to... I think if, hypothetically, we lose in the first playoff series, we're not going to look back and say, oh, wow, that six-game, undefeated streak mid-season, that was a great year for Toronto FC, right? So again, I'm very, like everybody, I have a bit of hesitancy when it comes to Toronto FC, but I'm very happy with this team, and I think the team is finally performing where they should be, and, you know, hopefully they continue with that success. And I think the key tonight, which we've seen on many of occasions, that if Bradley, Altidore, and Giovinco are playing at their ability, we should be a first place team in this league, and we should, and that's probably what's going to rely on.
Yeah, I mean, I'll echo all that. I mean, it seems that I'm not afraid of every game now. Before, it would be like, oh, we played a couple of games, then we would drop two. There was no consistency. And this is consistent.
Yes.
This is good. And you're right, like, getting certain players in and having them firing and not having any injuries and having a deep squad now is so important to this desire to win and to do well in the playoffs. And how many more games are left?
Eight.
So, ostensibly, this could carry over for the next 6-7 weeks, and that'd be great.
Yeah, no, I think, and again, if you look at the history of the MLS, this is when teams start to find themselves. Like, Dallas was a story last year, but no one thought Dallas was a top team.
A lot of late bloomers.
And then Montreal, they kind of came through. Montreal last year is a great example of that. And even years past, right? This is the point. LA. This was the point where LA sort of said the season's starting. It's ironic because a lot of MLS press now has Seattle as the team to watch and the team, you know, the team that we got to watch out for and stuff like that. But it does, you know, like, seasoned MLS people know that you stay, you know, you're in the hunt for the first 25 games in the season. It's those last sort of 10 games that kind of define yourself And then, you know, the playoffs is a bit of a crap shot. But if you have momentum going into that playoffs, that you know, those are the teams that kind of favor it, right?
Yep. Which makes that Montreal that game on Saturday so important because, like you said, statement of intent, you may have said in the last podcast, but that would be the game for me.
Sure.
Because of its history. I mean,
yeah.
History.
Well, and I would like, just as a caveat to that, I would like the team to identify that as a big game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because I think the supporters certainly identify as a big game. I think the hype machine has identified that the big game, as we heard today. If we did a shot contest for every time they said the 401 Derby, we would have been drunk by the end of this. So I want the team to feel that way as well. Like, I want the team to, like, not only do I want the team to succeed in that game, but if they get a victory in that game, I want them to come off the pitch and say, yeah, we did it. We've achieved something. Because that's what's going to become of you. You know, one of my questions, and you know, it might be slightly unfair, but, you know, we had talked this with Jovinko ever since he came to the team. You know, does Jovinko truly understand the MLS? Does he understand that it's the playoffs have more meaning than a midweek game in the middle of July? And, you know, with Bradley, and it's completely unfair in some sense, but with Bradley and Altidore making $7 million each, do they really care? Like, do they, right. You know what, like, do they need to win an MLS title? Does it matter to them, right? And so I think there has to be that sort of group, you know, collectiveness and stuff like that. And that's the problem with the way we develop this team.
Yeah. Right? That's the guys with the lowest salary being like, guys, we get a bonus? Some of us really care about that.
No,
I know, but you don't need but we do.
Like, if this team, you know, and again, it's probably unrealistic. But if Osorio or someone like that was the key player of this team, or you know, back in the day, if Di Rosario was the key player of this team and was part of the team during the bad time and sort of felt like, we're real now, we're going to get somewhere, you know, that's how the supporters feel, right? And so, you know, in many ways, Bradley, Altidore, and in some sense, Jovinko, they're kind of like marksmen who came in to help us do that. And they, you know, first, you know, up to now, my expectation was them to provide. And so now it's about, you know, let's be part of the machine and let's go. And then, you know, all the stuff we talked about, because the last time we had the podcast, we talked about the team not getting enough respect and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's when that thing will come, right? Like, when this is a collective, our team, everything goes, you know, it's you know.
And that comes from winning.
Yeah.
Oh, no, definitely. Right?
Yeah,
the more they win.
I think we're all on the same, well, I'm going to use this kind of analogy two times. We're on the same page that I'm not quite there to be like, this club has turned a page on their horrible past,
right?
To be like, to, you know, I'm it's on the tip of my tongue where I'm almost like, this is a good team. But it's like I said last week, I'm like, is it PTSD that I'm just I'm ready for this?
Well,
that's
an interesting question because we sort of wrote notes before the podcast on what we might talk about. But one of the questions I asked you potentially for the podcast was, you know, Toronto is a winner. Like, can Toronto build on being a winner?
Yeah.
You know, like, is this what Toronto is? Like, it's funny because one of the narratives with Toronto is how bad we've been, and now we're becoming a winner. And it's always funny because in context with baseball, you know, they make reference to the Cubs. Like, it's better the Cubs never win because at least they have the story that they've never won, or with the Red Sox. Like, the Red Sox are boring now. Because they're no longer the, you know,
the team that had
80 years of struggle kind of thing. And our kids, you know, and our fathers and our grandfathers knew about the struggle and stuff like that. And I know for you, for example, like, you've been here since day one. You know, what's the end story? Like, do you want to go along with Toronto the champion?
I'll say the
number 10?
Yeah, for sure.
Because, you know what I mean? I think that, I mean, you know, if you're, I think it's like, if you're in the stadium, like, to the extent that we've been, truth, like, you know, it's like, I think of it with Canada too. You just, like, there's nothing, like, last podcast, there was a point we were talking and I completely checked out of the conversation. I was daydreaming about being at a I was daydreaming of being a home game in a playoff home game.
Yeah.
And what that atmosphere would be like.
It's
right? And it's just like, and then I'm like stopping myself now because I'm just like, that's, I don't want
to. Well, and to be honest with you, to add to the conversation about what we had in the last podcast, I think that's the media perception, right? Because a lot of the Toronto media who support TFC are diehard soccer fans, right? And so they're wanting the chickens to hatch before the hatching actually take place. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, I kind of work analytically with soccer, and, you know, just, I guess, my normal personality is like, celebrate when you celebrate, right? Yeah, celebrate when you win something. Yeah. Celebrate when this thing is going good. Now, I love momentum, and I love the fact that we're winning, and there's a lot of opportunity up ahead. You know, there's the Montreal game. There's Canada's position in the Canada qualifying. There's the string of games in September. There's the playoff home game. There's the, you know, and so, you know, this is going to be like the advent calendar soccer, where every day is going to be a wicked chocolate bar prize. But at the end, you know, those are the moments, right? Let's, you know, and again, I don't want to put a negative spin on this podcast, but there's no reason, there's no need to daydream. Yeah. Right, you know, when you were in last place and you thought you could have good draft picks in the next draft and turn this team around, that was, you know, in very much context daydreaming. But this is reality, right? Yeah. And the reality is we're a good team, and let's just not fuck it up, right? Yeah. Let's just
cautiously optimistic. Yeah. Toronto disappointed us so many times.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a different feeling of feeling that like. Come the end of August, beginning of September, and usually people are cautiously optimistic in March.
Yeah, right.
They were looking at the team. I think this is a good team. I think we might.
Well, I think it's funny because I think one of the first non-game podcasts I was ever on with you, I think it was 3 years ago, and it was about this time of the year. It was early September, end of August. It was that Red Bulls game.
Okay.
Where Toronto lost like 4-1. And then we talked about the game for 20 minutes, and then we went in an hour about how this team can improve, what this team can do in the next 3 years, you know, and those kinds of things. And again, as a sports fan, that's interesting. But, you know, as a true, you know, as I said, in a sense of reality, this is a good team, you know, like, and that's the thing. I think they're reaching their expectations.
This is no longer an experiment.
That's why I like. That's,
yeah, or it's not a roll of the dice, you know what I mean? Or a spin of the wheel, whatever you want to call it.
Like, no more Mo Johnson.
No, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, being like, hey, yo, do I get a kickback if I sign another player and blah, 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 you know?
Well, no, and in context, like, you know, because we've talked about this in the past. Like, honestly, I think if you gave players gradings on Toronto for the season so far, I think a lot of them achieved, you know, outside of injury and outside of circumstances, I think a lot of them have performed as you expected from them, overperformed as you expected from them. Ian and I, as our quasi-general managers, we're saying, like, get rid of Parkey, do this, do that.
And it's
happening.
Best move of the season. You're welcome.
Bring in Ricketts, do all that, and then it happens exactly. You know, like, I can't complain, right? You know, like a year ago or 2 years ago, I was writing 12 articles a year, basically criticizing the direction that this team should go, and I'm happy. Like, I'm not angry, right? Like they're doing what they're supposed to do, and hopefully they're rewarded for it.
This is the team that I like to see, not just for the end of this season, but for the next few seasons. Kind of keeping a core, keep Gio in town.
Oh, yeah, if you could,
keep Bradley in town, sustain Ricketts, keep them around, and then kind of build.
Right?
Of course, build on the defense, we can go on forever about that, but you know what I mean? And this is the first time I watched the game, like, okay, this isn't, it's not, I never thought I was going to lose the game, although, to be fair, I did deep down.
Well, that's what I liked about Ricketts' goal tonight, because it was not only the impact he can have on this season, it's that as we go at the end of the season, there's an expansion draft. Players who are, you know, identified by the league are going to probably move on. But Ricketts is that kind of guy under the radar. No one expects anything from him, and he's the guy.
He's Canadian.
He's Canadian, but it's funny because Orlando. We speak about that Kevin Molina with Orlando.
Yeah.
Right. No one cared. No one knows. No one does. And then the guy creates a role for himself, and he's one of the top, you know, goal plus assist guy. And I saw that Ricketts goal. I think if you gave Ricketts 30 games a season, put him up as a striker or a winger, I think he could be a very impactful player in this league.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he could break out, have easily a 10-goal season for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to see I can make a segue out of what you just said there.
Sure.
Because, you know, you're talking about the expansion draft, and you're talking about the players that Toronto brought in, and I'm trying to be like, okay, there's still one player that Toronto's brought in that is yet to make an appearance.
Yeah, I thought we'd see him tonight.
Yeah, Armando Cooper, the Panamanian. So then that's an interesting thing because I'm trying to tie in, you know, kind of the way you've just talked about a few points. And then, you know, our long lost segment of smoke and mirrors on trying to, on this podcast, because we obviously heard Tim Bezbatchenko on the radio this week.
Yeah.
Almost every time I hear him talk, I think to myself,
I'll be positive about him too, man. I'm in a happy mood, man. It's over. Yeah. Everyone's good.
Well, I'll still.
Who do we hear from today?
I'll still make fun of him today. What do you mean?
On the thing. No,
that was Manny.
I have issues with Manny. I'm
beginning to get a more
positive.
I still have issues. Stop with the Canadian references. They're so pointless.
Well, yeah, he's just,
yeah, no, he literally had nothing to say, but he's worse to say it.
Yeah, he's like, it's a great hockey town.
Yeah,
it's fucking talking about. Fans are the best.
Right, you get Manning. Him on the pod sometime.
Bill Manning.
That's right.
You'll come on this podcast with us? I seriously doubt it.
Pull your straight.
He was the damper to the best day ever in Toronto podcast history.
So I think the point that I was trying to get at from, I think I was trying to pull from Bezbatchenko's interview was that, you know, he made the comment about the signing of Cooper and that Cooper might be a kind of guy who could be a buffer.
Yeah.
That, you know, we bring him in on loan, which is something that Toronto's like doesn't. Well, they did obviously at the start of a season.
Yeah, with
Caesar. Yeah, so. When they just didn't have a clue when they had Ryan Nelson and they just brought in all these goofballs. Cesar was interesting, but anyways, you know, the idea of like you bring a guy in and if he does well, like I mean, LA was the originator of that. You know, when they brought in Juninho, which is such a smart thing to do, where they brought him in on loan first, he proved himself, and they signed him to a good sized contract. You bring in Mario Cooper, who's like, I'm sort of on the fence.
Well, the funny thing is, the one thing I was against Bezbatchenko from that interview was I don't think he sold Cooper as what Cooper is, right? Like, I think Cooper is, the irony with Cooper is those guys that Montreal's been signing the past couple years, you know, those fast player type guys, the guy who is good on the ball. And it's just, you know, it's funny because, you know, not to, you know, to take the topic off topic, but, you know, MLS Soccer, an article this week about Acosta, who's this little short Argentina guy for DC United.
Yeah.
And they said, signs of Giovinco. Like, that was the headline, right? Players believe you'll be the new signs of Giovinco. Like, you'll be the new Giovinco, right?
If MLS brings in a guy who develops into Giovinco, I will be fucking shocked.
Yeah, you know, so it's just, you know, again, I think, you know, you know, it's a copycat league, right? And people see this, and arguably, what Cooper has is skill sets that other Toronto FC players don't have. And so, if those skill sets are used properly, like the other TFC players, I think he could be an asset.
Why hasn't he started?
But I don't. I think that's the key.
They've been the paperwork and stuff like.
Well, no. But I also think the key is
Cooper.
Yeah.
I also think the other key is I don't think he's your 90-minute starter, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy you're going to bring in. Like you brought in Altidore at the end of the game today to create an impact.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a guy you can rely on to come in and then take the position of a Delgado or take a position of an Azario, because I think that would hurt the team.
Yeah.
Right? Generally. You know, I don't think they're not Giovinco-esque. They're not going to be game-changing day one. They're going to be these guys who, you know, are decent and have some more skill sets, but because they're not fully developed in the team, a player who's already on the team might provide more to the team than these new guys.
And my impression is, and you know, maybe I'll be wrong, but I find that like Central American players play, you know, they go out on their shield for the national team, but the club level outside of their home country sometimes can be a spotty record for those guys. You know, I can think of there was a Honduran guy who came into the league, a striker.
Bergson.
Yeah, Bergson, right? He was like.
And then segue wise, Orlando.
Yeah.
Then Orlando bought that guy. They gave a DP contract.
Oh, yeah, Roca.
Yeah, and then the guy's been on Orlando too the whole season.
Right. So that's maybe my one concern is that.
Well, again, I think the situation is that, you know. Maybe I'm going too far with this, but I think the situation in those Central American countries, from my own scouting, is that those leagues themselves don't matter much to those teams. Like, they're not trying to win the Costa Rican League or the Guatemalan League or whatever. They're trying to sell these players so that they can go off into these bigger teams. So what these players need to learn, they get a lot of press in these countries because of their individual skill sets. But what they need to learn is how to play as a team, how to, and partly they learned that on the national team, and that's what you're referencing. But that's something they still need to learn, right? Like, you know, reality is if we were the Guatemalan League or the Costa Rican League, guys like Azario, Chapman, but even guys like, you know, the TFC two guys, Cello and those guys, would be given 3,000 minutes.
Yeah.
Because to them, there's more value in selling those guys off and trying to get something for them than winning next week against, you know, Club Uruguay or whatever team you're playing against and stuff like that.
It's like a
a weird scouting sense because you're seeing the player develop his show off his skills, but you don't see the player in an environment where games actually matter and situations actually matter. And I think that's where these players become overwhelmed.
Any thoughts on that, Andre?
No.
I
feel bad because I wanted to take it into one of the points that you brought in the email, but we're hitting a point of the podcast where if we go too much longer, Aaron, I'm going to be like, going to be a little too long.
But I think that's a valid point. I mean, you know, it's hard to justify, it's hard to understand. A lot of those lower leagues in Central and South America, like you said, they're almost essentially farm teams for bigger leagues, and that's good for their national teams, and it's also good for MLS, Premier League, Bundesliga, bigger or first, second, third division, and they'll go anywhere really.
Yeah.
I mean, these are poor countries, and they want to sell. I mean, these guys want to play. Oh,
and to be honest with you, for MLS to be successful long term, which kind of brings up
that,
I think we have to look in that way too, right? Like, you know, we can't bring in Coopers to replace Azario, right? We have to give Azario his minutes.
Yeah.
We have to give him his opportunities so that they can develop into long-term players in the MLS or continue the cycle where there's something valuable for a 15-year-old kid right now because they see something in the future.
Okay, so let's see if I open this can of worms. Because the point we were going to make was that in Bezbachenko's interview, they asked him, is this league expanding too fast? You know, with the announcements of the new teams.
Yeah.
And he, you know, I think he's towing the company line. And he said, no, I think the league is going whatever. I think there's still a lot of players around the world that, you know, that MLS is a destination for them. And we're going to bring these players in. And then, you know, you look at the point that Aaron and I were trying to, like, weave into this was that, you know, the league, you got a league that's at 20 years.
Yeah.
You have Toronto FC who's in their 10th year. You have a team like Orlando who's in their second year. There's like a... You know, you kind of have a spectrum there of what's going on. And, you know, you kind of ask, you know, when a comment like that is, you know, we're still finding ways to bring players in the league. And you say to yourself, what is this league?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what is...
Are you
a development league? Like, is it the point...
I think the biggest joke is that we basically... And I don't joke. I mean joke in terms of criticism to all the people who disagree with this point. Not joke as this is the wrong direction. But we basically duplicated the old NSL.
Yeah.
Right, we, you know, we are now a league with, you know, 24 teams. It was soon to be probably 32 teams in the next 5-10 years.
Yeah.
And the bigger teams have the money and have the better players, right? And it's interesting because in context, because Houston, their ownership did a letter to the fans and said, "Hey, man, you know, we're sorry for sucking. We're gonna try to do better. We have some good players, you know, whatever, right?" But and it was on MLS Soccer, so you have a free comment. Facebook comment board, and all the comments was, "You don't know new MLS. Toronto's buying all these. You know, you need to spend the $20 million to win. You're joking yourself. It's these Torres and these young Central American players. You're only paying $200,000 for. Are not going to cut it. You need the $8 million guy." And so, you know, and this, you know, that's not to bring this podcast into a 4-hour podcast, but maybe in the off season this could be a great discussion because, you know, maybe it's an idea where we look at relegation promotion, right? Like where teams, you know, because that's the one benefit a team like Leeds or something in England, they could say, "Oh, we're okay sucking because we're a second division team. We're only supposed to win this. We're not supposed to compete with Manchester United and here." And in MLS perspective, everyone has to compete equally, but no one's competing equally, right? You know, the irony is now that Toronto has Bradley, Giovinco, and Altidor in the lineup, you know, they probably, salary-wise, had $18-20 million collective salary higher than Orlando in the game today, right?
Yeah.
And so if you saw that in Serie A, because I know you're a big fan of Serie A, it would be like Empoli playing Napoli or Empoli playing Juventus. Right. And you wouldn't go into Juventus and say, oh, Juventus only tied 1-1 or just beat them 2-1. No. And that's also, you know, just wrap it up, that's also my criticism with TFC, is we should have high expectations for them. And now we're finally getting paid off for those expectations.
Yeah.
And so it's great. You know, we're the Juventus podcast, but you know, that's what that's what we want, right? Yeah. We want it's good to be successful.
That's all I've wanted for the last 5 years.
And as I said, that's my other point personally, because I follow Toronto FC since the beginning, but I haven't been the diehard fan. As I do feel Toronto FC fans deserve, right? For the attention, the effort, the
can you imagine having young, like having nobody on this team at this point, and then just trying to like grow young players?
Well, arguably you can count 10 years, 20 years. You can say 10 years is a generation. 20 years is a, you know, is a generation, like 10 years is almost a whole, you know, high school, elementary school
right? It's a long time.
So, you know, and again, you know, you've been game since day one.
For a team that's had money just in spades, right? Yeah. And has almost flaunted it in some way and not put it in where
it counted. And maybe to bring it back around is that the comparison is that you know, one of the players in this game came from an academy that started 10 years ago, and he is one of the best young players in the league. And Kyle Lahren, Sigma started in 2007. About 10 years later, that full cycle, they have produced a player who is arguably and probably will be sold on for a very handsome fee. To sort of add to that point, right? That's what you have. But I think we should leave it at that, guys, because we're obviously at the point that I'm watching the clock. Even before this game kicked off, I don't know if you noticed, MLS Soccer, we were top of the power rankings.
Oh,
yeah, I saw that.
So the world respects us now.
And even, you know, as leading up to this game, you know, the comments after the Philadelphia, like the Philadelphia, like,
turn heads, right?
Media
yeah.
had... was just like, ooh, Toronto FC. And, you know, I guess it's Toronto supporters were just like, I don't know what the, like, I don't know what to make of it.
I think
I'm like, you don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's funny, though, because now Altidore and Bradley are key players. So that means that they're American. Like the interesting podcast, especially if we do well in the playoffs, will be the lack of respect we get then, because it will be almost expected that we should have won.
The more Americans hate them, the more I'm liking them.
Exactly.
That's the funny thing, right? Yeah. So I mean, people can get Aaron, you know, you're at EMB Sports and Prospect 11.
Yep.
Still seeing you got like lots of previews coming out.
Yeah, we're doing active online. We're going to be doing, we're finishing up the European stuff. We're going to actively do college previews. The only thing I should add is that I teamed up with a couple of guys, younger guys, but they used to play top level soccer at CIS and top level soccer at NCAA.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And so they're giving me scouting opinions on players. It's funny because, just as an example, Sergio Camargo used to be with Coastal Carolina, has moved to Syracuse, and a guy who I now have working with me played with Camargo as a youth in the city of Toronto. So it's giving me a different perspective of the game beyond the statistical analysis and the coaching analysis and the other analysis that Prospect 11 brings you. So it should add to the overall product, I guess.
And Andre,
Well,
big news! You might be starting a new Twitter account.
I'll start a new Twitter account.
That's not Kabuki
not
one.
Related to my non. Maybe
will it be a normal?
You should call it. You should call it Cart Larson.
I think I might just call it.
Or the real Kurt Larson.
Carson.
The real Kurt Larson.
Yes, I will at the real Kurt Larson.
That'd be awesome.
I had another one on top of my brain, but I'm going to leave it at that.
Leave it for later.
I don't think Kurt listens to this, but if he does, you know, he's a big boy, and he's got thick skin. He's not a big deal for him. Anyways, and obviously, I'm at Clark RNO. You can catch me at info or have your say at RedNationOnline.ca. Reach out to us. Oh, yeah, and I'm out of town this weekend. Boo, Earns.
Oh, you're not here for the derby.
No, I'm not going to be here
for the
401.
Are you on
the 401? I might be, actually.
There you go. You
but Julian might be going to the game. I don't know if I get figure something out with that. But anyways, I'll try to figure out something for the Canada games, too.
If you properly want to celebrate the derby, you watch the game in Kingston.
Okay.
I'll find a way. That's a classic derby, right?
That's true.
It is off the 401. It is off the 401. Okay, and, but, you know, whatever. We'll be back soon. So, thanks for listening, guys. And catch you next time.
I am nothing. Never, never.
want you to get involved. Reach out to us on Twitter at Red Nation Online or by email at info or have your say at rednationonline.ca. Get in touch with us. Let us know how you thought the team did. Agree, disagree, it doesn't matter. Also, check out our other podcasts on Red Nation Online, From the Black Hole, Ours is the Fury, and our interview series. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time. He'll understand you, for you are him, and he is you.